Welcome to Charmed Life, a radio show discussing spirituality, magic, and the unconditional love of the universe. Thanks for tuning in. And I'm your host, Trisha Carr. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do want to tell you, before I welcome my amazing guest, about my Patreon page. I have a community that I work with there on Patreon. Patreon is a platform that allows you to engage with and also support content creators, artists, and, you know, folks that do things. So I would love to invite you there. We meet at least twice per month, depending on the tier of patronage that you support at. And I do a live group meditations. And I also do a meetup, a hangout where we get together and we channel, we answer questions. We do all kinds of amazing light-bringing work together. So check that out, patreon.com/Trisha Carr, if you like this program. And if you like this program, thank you so much for being here, because you know what happens when you do that? We are allowing more light into this experience by joining our hearts, by listening, by contributing. When our hearts light up, when that light starts to beam from our being, that is us in real time making this world a better place. So thank you so much for that. I appreciate you. And I would love to start to talk about my incredible guest today in a moment. Again, the Lightworkers Lab. I want to say hello to the Lightworkers Lab. Is an online spiritual community hosted on Facebook as a group. You can find it on Facebook by searching in groups for the Lightworkers Lab. It is founded by my dear friend Crystal Ann Compton, who's been on Charmed Life many times. And it is a resource for spiritual growth and sharing, fellowship, and we have amazing programs that we offer through the Lightworkers Lab. I'm currently in my animal communication program that I partnered with the Lightworkers Lab for. Registration is actually closed at this time, but stay tuned if you're interested in learning how to open up this gift of animal communication. It will be available again very soon, so check out the Lightworkers Lab, and hello, Lab fam. All right. My guest today, his name is Ike Allen. He is the spiritual director of Enlightenment Village and founder of Avaya Media. Enlightenment Village and Avaya create positive films, books, and courses such as A Course in Miracles, the movie, The Tao of Quantum Physics, Leap, A Quantum Awakening, The Truth About Prosperity, and so much more. Within the Enlightenment Village membership community, Ike uses his intuitive ability to rapidly uncover what people truly want and the core story that's limiting them in any area of their life. Using his laser-like ability, Ike holds a clearing to help people step into who they really are and what their most natural expression in this world is. Oh, that is a work that just sings to my heart. And with that, I would love to welcome onto the show Ike Allen. Welcome, Ike.
Hello, Trisha. It's great to be here with you.
Thank you so much for being here. Well, first off the bat, I'm sure people are already salivating. Let's tell them how they can check out Enlightenment Village. How do they actually get in touch with Enlightenment Village before we get into the work that you do?
Well, you know, they would say, hey, Alexa, hey, Google, hey, Siri, take me to Enlightenment Village. Or they would type in old school, Trisha. They would get on their little keyboards and they would type out www.enlightenmentvillage.com. And they get anywhere in the ballpark, it will bring it up.
Perfect. That's a really great name for a community. I mean, I signed up, actually. I'm just starting to get into Enlightenment Village, and I'm super excited about it. I mean, I love all of the work that you do, the films that you're doing. We really need this work. So thank you so much for bringing that into this plane for us.
Absolutely. It's been a fun 10, 11, 12, 13 years, however long it's been. But yeah, it's a fun time.
Well, would you like to share with us a bit about your journey, the work that you're doing? Get folks into Enlightenment Village Avaya Media. Ike Allen, what is this all about? we're already feeling it. I know it. I attract a bunch of people who are, you know, very empathic and very clairsentient. So we're all feeling it already.
Well, I love that. And, you know, as we say, everyday enlightenment for ordinary people or various forms of that. You know, one thing about me is I grew up in Vermont. I grew up as a blue collar character persona in the game of life. And I've always held on to that. I've always held on to my sarcastic wit. We like to call it wit. My sarcastic wit and my sarcastic charm, and, you know, just enhanced it over the years with spirituality. So as my life went on, you know, I think like for many of us, when I was young, I would lie in bed and think, are my parents aliens, right? Or are there aliens here? I would have, right? We'd have, you know, how we all have those things. And then often in our teenage years, we get caught up in that teenage experience. At least that was my experience in my early adulthood life. You know, I was always sort of, I didn't grow up with organized religion. So there were always things floating out on the ethers, you know, out on the rim of everything. But I was sort of living that normal life. And then however long ago, you know, I started hearing a voice talking to me, and that opened the gateway to spirituality, let's say. And I was a corporate restaurant guy, but the voice was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I decided that I wanted to make a film about the nature of reality, right? I was going to just be a one-off, as I say. I want to make a film 13, 14, 15 years ago about, is the world an illusion? The Matrix had come out, The 13th Floor, all these things. You know, and I'm an ordinary guy, so how can an ordinary guy, right, that likes to drink beer and likes to be goofy and I don't know, you know, just kind of goofy guy, also have this sort of wacky spiritual life? So I started pursuing making a film about, is the world an illusion? And I went after quantum physicists, I went after spiritual people a lot in the New Thought, Unitarian kind of world and places like that, to take a look at, is the world an illusion? And along the way, I realized, wow, I could actually make multiple films. I could make books, courses, and now, you know, online communities and things. So because I came from a franchising background, I started saying, oh, I could make this my full-time life, right? I really could do. Everyone was telling me, do what you're passionate about and you'll figure out, you know, how to make the money. And it was really hard to believe, as probably a lot of us can relate to. But I started seeing, wow, maybe I could just do what I'm passionate about and make money at it. So I just started going, and then I started saying I could make a film about this and this and a book about this. And people started asking me to coach them and things. And all of a sudden it just kept coming together, and poof, you know, here I am on a business level, and poof, along the journey, which is sort of a side story, now I exist as sort of like, I identify as awareness, and I get to play the fabulous character of Ike Allen in the ultimate human amusement park.
Wow, what an answer.
How was that, Tricia?
That was fantastic. And you have no idea how many synchronicities between you and me there are in what you just described about your journey. I actually come from restaurants as well. I come from hospitality. And yep. Since I was a teenager, I started working in restaurants, first as a hostess, then as a server, then as a bartender, then as a mixologist working for national distributor, Southern Glazer's Wine and Spirits, as you probably know, since it hasn't been probably too long for you. They used to be called Southern Wine and Spirits. Are you familiar with Southern? Yeah. And I work with franchised and national accounts, as we call them, or executive accounts of restaurants. So I know some of what that world is. And I totally, don't you love how you can always hack your life, and whatever experience that you've had, you can make it spiritual and you can make it work for that same effort, because as above, so below, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've also just started a new podcast with a partner, and it's basically to express that, you know, sometimes spirituality gets a little bit heavy and a little bit serious. I was reading on Enlightenment Village about that, and I was like, that is so funny. We're actually doing our official premiere on the 14th, so just in about 10 days from now. We did a sneak preview, and this will give you an idea of how we're actually trying to what we're actually capturing in this with the sarcasm and everything. The name of the show is Enlightened AF. You know what AF stands for, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you'd like to come on our show there too.
I get down into that area. You know, I always size up the show I'm on and how loose I can get with everything and playful.
I love it.
I think we've gotten a little too serious. I think experience of this reality is, yes, we need to do things to shore up some equality and some respect, but I sometimes worry about us getting a little too serious and all of the fun slipping away. You know, I mean, yes. I've had friends where they make fun about me being straight, and I make fun about them being gay or whatever, but it's all from a very, you know, truly respectable way. You know, I grew up with Irish people around me and, you know, a huge variety in New England, and we would joke around, but there was never a real sense of disrespect. I feel like even in spirituality, you know, I love it when we sort of make fun of it. You know, I can make fun of my beliefs. I can make fun of other people's beliefs, you know, playfully, if they're open to it. We can have fun. We can respect each other and still sort of playfully poke at, you know, a Christian and poke at a Buddhist and poke at a Jainism person or whatever. You know, I just, you know, I still like to have fun. You know, I don't want to do the serious business of spirituality. I think spirituality is supposed to be about having fun and being joyful, respectfully, playfully joyful.
Absolutely. Well, I like to think of it really is we're kind of making fun of the ego. Actually, my host partner on Enlightened AF is he just basically is sexually fluid, so he can make fun of both the gays and the straights.
And everything in between.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, but again, it's like making fun of ourselves too in the spiritual community. You know, some of the concepts that we focus on a little bit too hard, where they become really dense. You know what I mean? Like these things that are weighing us down, when that's not what it's about. That's what we actually were moving from, an antiquated kind of religious structure where there is beliefs that are imposed from without. If it doesn't feel good, put it down.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that concept of, you know, this evil, mean God, you know, it's very dangerous, even on this level, the concept that there are things we must do or we're going to be punished, right? I think if everyone lived from true inspiration, you know, in a place of love, that the world would operate a lot smoother.
Oh, yes. Amen to that. I do want to mention that we do have the phone lines open, 323-524-2599. If you would like to share anything, or if you have any questions about how to actually feel enlightened in your everyday life, Ike and I will tap into that for you and just have a chat. So now tell me, so the very first film that you did was A Course in
Leap.
Miracles? Oh, it was Leap.
Nope, Leap.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. And can you share a little bit about the inspiration of that and the topic?
Well, as I briefly mentioned, you know, it was really about, so I was a corporate restaurant trainer. And as I started to take a look at this concept, what if the world really is an illusion, right? I'm what, about 30 at the time or something. What if the world is really an illusion? Like, what if it's really true that this world's not real, not a perception? Like, what if I am in the matrix? What if I really am? Voices, knowings were coming over me. The intuitive thing was coming over me. And I thought, how am I going to get to the people? I'm not a guy that rushes off and go to seminars. You know, I'll present at them once in a while or whatever. It was just not really my thing. So I said, how am I going to get to these people? So I said, I'm just going to declare myself a filmmaker. And then I'm going to go after the people that I want to talk with about this and interview them and spend time in their homes with them, because I'm a filmmaker. So right, there's confidence or arrogance, maybe a little bit of both, Tricia. I said, poof, I'm a filmmaker, da-da-da, right? You buy a camera, you do all the, I mean, you know, back in those days, 10, 15 years ago, it was more expensive to do these things. And, you know, but we made it happen. And, you know, I went after those people and I sat down with them. That was the real push. I'm going to become a filmmaker so I can talk to Dan Millman that wrote Way of the Peaceful Warrior. You know, yes. I'm going to become a filmmaker so I can talk to Fred Allen Wolf, who was, you know, Leap and The Secret of Quantum Physicist, you know. So I just declared myself a filmmaker. And I wanted to know if the world was an illusion. And the reality, that's still the foundation of everything for me. I'm not researching it anymore. I'm not seeking it anymore. I got to the end of the rainbow as it occurred for me. And, you know, then I just said, well, I guess I'll just turn it into my career and surround myself with people talking about it. But, you know, my experience is the world is an illusion. We are in a holographic projection or a dream of the mind of awareness. And I also believe the world came and went long ago, and we are actually witnessing, observing, rewatching it. But that's way out there, Tricia.
Oh,
that's
we get out there. We definitely get out there, huh, Jarvis? he's nodding his head. He's not. You can't hear him right now. But yeah, no, I get way out there too. Actually, I love that you mentioned rainbow. That really struck a chord with me. How a rainbow is both an illusion, but it's also real. You know, it's a real illusion, if you will, is what this experience is. It's basically
We are having.
Go ahead.
The experience, right? The experience of it is very real. I'm sorry, right? The experience of things like a rainbow is very real.
Yes.
Right? So many things. I'm not discounting the experience. The experience is very real. But in the bigger, right, wider viewpoint, maybe it isn't quite as real as we thought it was. And maybe the way we feel in our everyday life isn't quite as real. Or maybe the people that, you know, that gets into everyday enlightenment, right? Maybe the people you think have wronged you, right? Someone can be what we deem as not nice to us at a store, the clerk, and we could say, she's got it in for me because, you know, I have purple hair or whatever. But, you know, so we create this false reality and we don't really know why she's upset, what her experience is. And I think you can see that on that micro level, and you can go way out to the rim of my experience is none of this is real, but the experience of it is very real. And my experience is there's a lot of joy and freedom you know, as Buddha probably didn't really say, but people say he says, you know, when you figure out what's going on here, you'll tilt your head to the sky and laugh. And whether Buddha said it or not, it's true. When one figures out what's going on here, that one will tilt their head to the sky and laugh. It's pretty funny when you get the cosmic joke. It's pretty funny when the curtain comes back and you see the wizard isn't all you thought it was. You know, it's a person, and that person is you, or right. you.
You were the wizard all along.
You were the wizard all along, and it's pretty funny. And it can be very difficult to confront when, you know, right, when we blame other people and our life didn't turn out because of other people. It can be very difficult to confront the fact that you were the wizard all along. But when we do confront the fact that we were the wizard all along, then we're free. Mm. When you let go of the judgment about what happened, you know, I had a terrible fifth grade teacher. The guy was what we would call a not nice guy, right? You can all figure out probably what that means. You know, I had a lot of challenging experiences in my life. I've been the villain. I've been the hero. I've been the perpetrator. You know, I've had challenges in my life. And when I realized that it was all me, then I could actually move forward on resolving whatever was out of place, getting back in the flow, right? Row, row your boat gently down the stream. I could get back to rowing my boat gently down the stream and just enjoying life. Someone cuts me off in traffic. I'm like, well, that's fascinating. Boy, that, who knows what that person has going on, but I don't get wrapped up in it anymore. You know, not always, but most of the time I don't get wrapped up. I find life flows a little bit easier when you remember, recognize that it's just a dream.
Mm, yes. And so how do you advise folks to begin to shift? Because when we are in that state of blame, but also shame and self-judgment, it can strike in that sort of denser feeling state. It can strike one even more deep into that pain if you say, well, it's all an illusion and you're the one who creates it. The person asks, someone always says, if they're in that place of self-judgment, how dare you? Why would I create this? You know, that is kind of, how do you help people shift from that perspective?
Well, obviously, no one person can help everyone. Most of the people that come to me are ready like confront that. And, you know, this is where I look to A Course in Miracles. And A Course in Miracles always says, what is the loving thing to do? I have two young daughters, Tricia. They're 10 and 13. We're going through some challenges right now and with somebody else. And it would be easy to say, well, girls, you're in luck because the world's an illusion. So it's all going to play out perfectly. But, you know, right, 10 and 13. First of all, they think I was crazy. But, right, what is the loving thing to do? So I embrace my human experience, and I meet everybody where they're at. If I feel, right, intuitively that someone needs to be told that it's okay, they need to be, you know, they need to hear, I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry you had that experience when you were young. You know, I try to meet everybody where they're at, and I think everybody needs to be approached differently. But at the end of the day, if one is pursuing enlightenment specifically, enlightenment is the awareness of what is, and that's free of all judgment and ideas about what enlightenment is. Enlightenment is what enlightenment is. And there's a lot of things to face along that road, but once we confront them, life is easy. So to come all the way back around, I do what A Course in Miracles says, what is the loving thing to do? And I meet everybody where they're at. And if I see I can push them to consider going a little bit deeper, to consider taking responsibility for something, even if maybe let's say it's not even true, I think the power comes. Someone could have gone out late at night and something bad could have happened to them. Well, they could go about it many ways, and they could go down a path that maybe leaves them feeling like a victim their entire life. And again, I'm not saying what's right for anybody. Some other people could come out and say, you know what? I had a feeling that I shouldn't go walking to that bar on Saturday night at 12 o'clock at night or whatever. Mm-hmm. I felt it before I left the house. So although I don't agree with what happened to me when I went out there, I do see how I could reclaim some power and be responsible that if I had followed my sense of intuition, maybe things would have turned out differently. Mm-hmm. And that being said, you know, each person has to figure out where they want to go on their own, but it sometimes gives people the opportunity to not deny that X number of bad things happened to them, but then to be able to move forward and to feel more powerful, if nothing else, because maybe they developed their intuition and the power they're feeling is intuition. And I would call that God or the universe or the force if you're a Star Wars fan, right? So I think power, real, true, authentic spiritual power and personal power often comes from places we don't think it will.
Yes, because, you know. Yes, of course, this is an illusion. So why not anywhere in this illusion? Can, you know, why not? Why not awakening here? Why not enlightenment here in this? I love that. That is very helpful to remind us, because sometimes, you know, we get into our stuff and our heart hurts for someone else who is suffering, and we feel like we want to just rescue them. That is definitely something folks that I work with, they tend to feel that way because they've started to feel better in their life, and then they see the people that they love that are not quite, they're still in that, and they're still in some suffering. But meeting people where they are, isn't that just a practice of presence? You have to come all the way down to the now and be okay with where someone else is in their journey, because that is their journey and you have your own journey. Presence, right?
I think it doesn't matter whether someone's battling alcoholism or hard drug addiction or, you know, whatever, right? Parenting issues, relationship issues. We have to meet people where they're at. You can yell at an alcoholic and say, you need to quit drinking. And sometimes, right, that intervention will get them, it'll be the catalyst for them finally saying, okay, I need to take responsibility for my life. But you have to meet people where they're at, because if Uncle Billy doesn't want to change, Uncle Billy is not going to change. You know, we have to meet people where they're at and try to be as loving and supportive. And sometimes, right, love is a firm, you need to get your head out of your butt. But we have to meet people where they're at and not lay, well, I figured it out, so how come you haven't over them, you know?
Oh, my goodness. I think you just channel. I actually literally have an Uncle Billy who passed about 2 years ago, and he suffered from alcoholism. So that is kind of, you're tapping into my field over here. Uncle Billy, are you? He was so sweet. He is so sweet, I should say. And, you know, that is truth that you were speaking there. It reminds me of, you know, I kind of dabble in, I'm not smart enough to know much about it, but quantum physics, because quantum physics tells us that where we place our, when we place our awareness somewhere, that it expands. And so meeting someone where they are, finding their light and holding witness to that, regardless of what the details surrounding it are, you know, that is actually the thing that helps them, I think, or, you know, I mean, it helps them to feel it more. It gives them the opportunity to.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head with the word, right, to witness it. We don't have to change everybody. Let's just see, right? I always think of religion, right? They're always out witnessing. I'm like, that's not witnessing. Witnessing is watching, being patient, watching. And in quantum physics, it's the observer effect, to witness, to watch and see what happens, not to like push people into, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous or, you know, anger management or whatever. It's to sometimes to witness and just be with them in the space of what they have going on. And often, just like that Uncle Billy thing that we just pulled off, that people will think we rehearsed that, right? Often it's in that connection with other people that I could generate the space, right? Over here in coastal North Carolina, I could be on the phone with a client, and they could have an opening. I could give them the freedom to keep drinking too much, and I could just accept them and love them as they are. And inside that space, divinity, as I would say, allows them the space to open up and say, okay, well, since you really do accept me, like, maybe it is time for a change, right? Things Yes. never work the way we think they do. You know, the intellectual mind, right, is the whole egoic mechanism there. It's like, well, it should work like this. Well, sometimes when we let go, we suddenly get what we want or something even better.
Well, that egoic or that sort of conscious mind, linear mind, it's, I actually feel that it is actually the creation. It is the object, and the subject or the creator is the subconscious mind or the superconscious mind or the intuitive mind. And so when that egoic, or maybe you call it lower mind, is trying to take over, it doesn't know how to be present. It's looking at, hey, look at this evidence of how we haven't died yet. And so it's always looking basically at the past and things that are already created. And so it shouldn't be in the driver's seat, right?
Probably not, but it seems to be most of the time for most people.
Yeah, that's how we're conditioned. We're conditioned to, kind of focus upon that so we can survive. And that is that mechanism at its core, the ego, is beautiful. It is the thing that does keep us physically alive. Otherwise, we're just going to float up out of here because we forget that we actually came with a purpose to be physical. Feels
that
so good to be
truth.
Non-physical.
People always say, what happens if everybody wakes up? I said, well, I guess the game's over.
It will start a new one.
Yeah, right. On to another world or another chapter, mm-hmm. you know, or a simple reboot.
Mm. And so you work with folks in, do you still do coaching? You mentioned that people were coming to you for coaching. Is that something you still?
I do a little bit, but I don't really push it. I you know, and it's not a plug. I sort of stumbled in with let's call it the Hollywood crowd, and I'm doing things with certain people, and, you know, I do pretty well with that. So I don't do much, you know, so see, I'm not even going to push that. So yeah, not really. Let's go with that, Tricia. But I really sort of, you know, steer people to Enlightenment Village. It's more cost effective for people. And, you know, I only have so much time, and I have two kids, and I have a dog over here that keeps moving across the bottom of the screen. So
oh, I didn't see him yet. What's his name? Yeah, or her name?
I would sort of be available, but I really steer people to Enlightenment Village and to our courses and films and things like that. And then I work pretty intensely with a few people in a different price bracket and things like that. So.
Sure. And so then with Enlightenment Village, because I just joined, I haven't had the opportunity to give myself a little tour quite yet. So you have courses, you have the films, and how does it function? How does that work for folks that would like to join it?
Yeah, we have it's currently around $20 a month, and there's all kinds of courses and audios. You can stream things, you can download certain things. There's some courses you can do in there. There's films in there. There's this other technology we created called visually interlaced brainwave entrainment, and we have videos and audios, and you can have them with or without the brainwave entrainment from people like Joe Dispenza and Dan Millman and Marcy Shimoff and Mike Dooley and, you know, I call them the usual suspects, all the people we know through Hay House or Sounds True or Avaya or Gaim or whatever. We have those kind of products. We'll do calls sometimes with some people in my orbit, authors and, you know, private group calls and things like that. But I find that most people really just, they go in there and they really kind of want to be to themselves. Of course, behind the scenes, we can see everything that's going on. But it's a real safe place for people to go. And even if you just join for a month or two and it's $20 a month, you can watch so many films and take so many courses and things like that. And most of the people, they don't overly interact a lot. They're really just treating it sort of like a library, and they're in there watching things and reading things and listening to things. And but people love it. We've had a great retention rate on it, as in people stay in there. You know, we get a lot of positive feedback from people. I mean, you know, people, this, and the strangest things, right? When you're in this industry, you think, well, no one's really going to like that particular thing, or I'll be surprised if anybody gets into that. And we suddenly get all this feedback about this thing about, you know, shame and guilt or something, you know, it's like, wow.
Yes. You know, so that is,
it's
so
just
true.
A nice community of people, you know, where people can play and they're not judged. And even when people interact, you know, we have the basic premise of let's be nice, and we use fun language. If you go and look at it, you know, everyone's a, you know, they're the village people, and hey neighbor, and you know, we just kind of have fun with it. And then I'm there, I'll answer questions for people, you know, I get back with people, and I'll get in discussions with some people and talk with them when time permits. But you know, for $20 a month to have access to that, it just seemed like a good way to go. And
amazing.
So far people love it.
And so there is a kind of communal fellowship or some kind of social media engagement part of it where folks can actually meet and fellowship.
Yep. They can talk with each other. They can get into topics and discussions on things like, let's call it spiritual enlightenment versus mm-hmm. everyday enlightenment versus interested in intuition. People can start topics and, you know, talking. The thing I found is that any group that anybody does, you know, Facebook is great. But you can always get people in there that aren't so nice or that are really pushing their point. And Enlightenment Village is about, I'm coming with my perspective, you're coming with your perspective. And it's all about, let us all get along. And also, charging something really does weed out yeah. trolls and things like that, because trolls don't pay. Trolls aren't going to pay $20 a month. So, you know, when you pay that $20 a month, you have a commitment. You're in there and there's a commitment. There's no trolls. There's no crazy people, because also, being on our own platform, we can just go, all right, you're out of control, blip. But mm-hmm. we've had zero issues, and people feel safe to, I think, talk and explore things and share things with people that maybe they wouldn't, you know, they probably wouldn't in a open social media platform where anybody can get in there and see their their business, you know, spiritually or personal or otherwise.
Absolutely. And well, you know, then you're not dependent upon Mr. Zuckerberg and whatever heck is going on with him these days.
You got it. Yeah, because the whole platform could get taken down, or the feds could step in, or but the biggest issue really is really people feeling like, okay, there's no trolls in here. There's nobody reposting my stuff on my mother's, my children's, my, you know, blah, blah. There's no ex-husbands, ex-wives, ex-squirrels. You know, it really, it's just charging $10 or $20 a month weeds out the people that don't want to be nice. That's been my experience. And then it's just fun and playful and supportive. People bring some heavy stuff in there. So it just, it gets, charging something weeds out the undesirables, you know, the people that I want someone to serve them. But at this point in the journey, I'm really just trying to help people that really want to take something on and move through something.
Well, and what's interesting about that is, you know, obviously we know money is energy, or rather money is actually just a symbol placed on top of energy. And we actually, so if someone pays something like $20 or something like that, that's, I mean, that's actually a lot in social media, because social media, you usually pay zero. But in the world, it's, for most people, it's not a lot. Certainly if they're someone who is pursuing education and enlightenment, you know, and they're really in this stage of wanting to build themselves interpersonally, because $20 for a course or a film, one single one, is phenomenal. So if someone is interested in taking a course or watching a film, then $20 is really, really low. But still, if we kind of look between those two boundaries, those two bookends, and think about how you can go and have some social engagement and, of course, the resources of education, but you get to give your energy. So that means that's going to open you up to receive the energy, too. And that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes with everything being free, we just don't appreciate it enough, right? There's a lot, you know, when I pay money for something, I'm committed to, right, getting my money's back out of it or getting my value out of it. When things are free, you can kind of haphazardly, well, maybe I'll tune in, maybe I won't. But yeah, again, people pay 10, 20 bucks for something. Excuse me. I think it does. It calls them within themselves to take advantage of it, right? And so if you're joining a community where it's anybody's community, where there's positive, supportive stuff in whatever you're looking to, you know, improve within yourself, then it's just a slam dunk. You know, you're going to succeed. Our community is lighthearted and playful and not too serious. And yes, we capitalize random letters. And yes, I know some of it drives you crazy, but we just try to mix it up within the human mind. We're still spelling things almost always correctly. And, you know, it's just, it's playfully fun. It's playfully fun. You can bare your soul and we can tell you, got it, we're here to help, but don't take it too seriously because everything will be worked out with time.
And what kind of courses, just, you know, you don't have to go too detailed or anything, but what kind of courses are offered in Enlightenment Village?
Well, Everyday Enlightenment is offered in there, which
that's an actual course.
Right. We never know what we're going to be talking about, but things are in there about prosperity from a psychological standpoint, quantum physics, things to sort of look at how quantum physics and spirituality work together. But I really like Everyday Enlightenment because I think often I see people race down the path and they discard everything else in their life because they're going to become awakened, they're going to become enlightened, but they're going to have a terrible relationship with their neighbors and their family and their office employees or yada, yada, yada. Or they're not going to confront the fact that they know they need to change something in their health, you know, or they need to change something in other areas of their life, or they're going to avoid mowing the lawn or whatever they do. Everyday Enlightenment is about being aware of what is in every moment of your life. What is, I'm upset with my neighbor. And then when we're aware of it, we can actually transform, overcome that, and maybe get back to a good place with our neighbor. Instead of saying, I'm pursuing spiritual enlightenment, my neighbor's an asshole. Sorry, I guess you'll have to bleep that out.
No, no, you don't. We don't have to bleep here.
Oh, okay. You know, so my neighbor's a jerk. But I'm getting in my house and away from my neighbor as quickly possible, right on the other side of the fence, so I can get back to my spiritual enlightenment.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Everyday Enlightenment is about, what is it with me and my neighbor? Where did this fall apart? What went wrong? He cut a tree down. She cut a tree down. They bumped my fence. Is it really worth me? Okay, let me think about this. Is it really worth me always being afraid to see him or her, being angry whenever anyone says anything about it, yada, yada, when the mailman accidentally delivers the mail to me. See, that's everyday enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Am I aware of what is in each moment? Am I aware of the anger? Because if one thinks they're going to get to spiritual enlightenment, being angry at the neighbor, my experience is the only way to get there is you have to choose to be angry at everyone and everything and literally burn your persona out through anger to get to spiritual enlightenment.
Yes. Well, and it, you know, and at the core of that too is it worth me holding that energy? Is it worth it me feeling that at any single second, that anger? And the truth is, of course, we know that there is no separation. So if you feel anger for your neighbor, resentment, you're just resenting and rejecting yourself. And that's the pain. That's the that is the falsehood that creates suffering, is rejecting the self or rejecting anyone, because that's just simply not true. That is the lie. That is, I think that is the original sin, that you to actually believe in rejecting the self or rejecting another person. That's the original sin.
Yeah. The idea, there's nothing wrong with seeing the experience of separation, but the reality is we're all one. It's not airy fairy stuff. There's only, and I'm not insulting airy or fairy, right? It's that there's only one thing happening here, yeah. and it occurs as many things. So, you know, and or as Ram Dass says, and I too am that. Mm. So, right, like, oh, somebody hit me, you know, with their car the other day. Well, I've hit people before, you know, with a car. You know, I've been in an accident before, you know, or that guy yelled at me. Well, guess what? Ike Allen, I've yelled at people before,
yeah.
You know. They told me they don't like my super awesome haircut, Tricia. Well, you know what? I too have told people I don't like their haircut. So I think often we don't, that's everyday enlightenment. Often we don't want to say, wait a minute, I too am that. I too have been mean to a neighbor or to a coworker or something. Maybe I could say, you know what, Bill on the other side of the fence, I'm sorry. Mm. You know, I'm just sorry. I don't know why. I don't know if I'm sorry for what you did or what, but I'm sorry. And I don't want to live like this. We're next door neighbors. What can we do to not live like this? And when one is vulnerable, when this one approaches another one being vulnerable and saying, I'm sorry, it opens up the right possibility of them saying, I'm sorry too. Okay, let's let it go. Let's move on. Let's resolve this issue the best we can and move on, you know, because there's only one of us here. That's the cosmic joke. There's only one of us here. If you want to keep fighting it, keep fighting it. But you can have the experience of being separate and live in the constant awareness that I am the only one here.
Yes. And to bring it back to who's behind the curtain, I can't really get mad at you for hitting my car because I created you hitting my car. I created
exactly.
That experience.
Exactly. And if you stretch it out, right, the world came and went long ago, as things like A Course in Miracles say, we're just rewatching it. We're rewatching Heart of Dixie, and I'm getting ready to. I love that show. So, right, we're just rewatching the game called or the TV show called Planet Earth.
Yes.
You know.
And so now we're into basically our alternate realities, potential realities, and we'll just the eternal nature of everything. And so at this point in time, well, actually, are you familiar with Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar? No. So Bashar is a sixth dimensional ET, and Daryl Anka is a man, a human man, who channels this particular consciousness. And he was saying that that time is, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to try to get this right, or maybe I should channel Bashar right now. Time is really just one single moment being witnessed from many different perspectives.
Absolutely.
And that can really, you know, kind of blow your mind when you're trying to get the kids out of the house to get into the car. Time's really important at that time. But that is the truth of everything. That expands and that perspective we can come from, but then live in that grounded world perspective.
Yeah, it's one of my projects I'm working on. It's called The Power of And. Mm. Right. Everything is both. Right. The egoic mind wants everything to be or, wants duality. Right. And is that it's always both. Is yeah. the world an illusion? Yes. And the world's not illusion. Are there multiple dimensions? Yes. And in some ways there aren't. You know, is there time? Yes. and no, right? There really isn't anything called time. We just use it. I say, you know, right, time is how we measure consciousness, right? Time helps us give the experience of sort of drawing a ruler across conscious experiences, but there isn't really anything called time, and everything is happening simultaneously.
Right.
You know, we pretty much know, right? Einstein said, reality is an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. And so time is an illusion, although it appears, right, when you're getting the kids to school or whatever, to be very persistent. So it's both. Life is about both. The world is an illusion and it occurs very real. And if I poke myself with this pen, I'm going to have the experience of bleeding. I'm not really bleeding, but there will be the experience of bleeding. So it's not, oh, I'm just going to be spiritual or, oh, I'm just going to be sort of earthbound. It's learning to be in both simultaneously, doing the dance. It's the razor's edge. You're in reality and you're looking off to the other side. That's a giant sucking void, to sort of paraphrase Buddhism, right? It's the void. That's how they look at God, the void or whatever's over there. You know, It's both. Everything is both. There's God and there's no God. There's love and there's hate, but there's neither, right? There's the triangle. There's love, there's hate, and there's neither. There isn't even really love. There's just awareness.
I actually learned, you know, this is interesting. It's reminding me of, you know, as I'm an animal and nature communicator, telepath, you know, I connect on those frequencies. And I one time I was connecting with this butterfly, and the butterfly was asking me, I asked the butterfly, like, does it have a lesson or does it have anything to share with me? And the butterfly was kind of like, what do you have to share with me? And and I remember sharing with the butterfly, I offered that basically a message of compassion. I really like that the dynamism of my journey, and now I can have compassion for others because of what I've experienced. And when I kind of offered this to this butterfly, this was the first time I'd ever experienced something like this. The butterfly didn't understand compassion, really, because the butterfly doesn't experience that much disparity in his own experience. He experiences autonomy, and the ability to create and contribute to the overall dance, but he's seamlessly more, or he's less separated in his experience. And so this idea of compassion, like you're saying, there's love and there's no love. Compassion is actually something that is a redeemed state. You know, it's actually recognizing that we were two pieces. We were separate, and now we have to come back. And it's kind of crazy if you think about there's a universe or an experience that is even higher than something like compassion, which is the thing that this world desperately needs. It's like, again,
you could use a little more compassion in this experience of reality. Yep.
Yes. And so actually this morning I was listening to a message from Pleiadians, actually. And so I told you, we get out there. You said, oh, we're getting out there. I said, don't worry, we get out there. And the Pleiadians were talking about, in this one particular part I was listening to, that it is actually really important on the awakening or ascension path that we do ground ourselves, because we start to feel so good in that expanded energy, in that experience of eternal nature, unconditioned. And we feel like we just want to stay there, and we don't want to get down into what we think is mundane. And as you're saying, there is mundane and there's also not mundane. And they said that, you know, you start to experience difficulty in even your physical body, because bringing in that much energy on that, just that side, into a physical body, into a physical experience, well, then there's going to be a collision there, essentially. The nervous system's going to fry. And so the idea of everyday enlightenment is sort of that experience of being grounded. It's the toggling, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's playing both ends continuously. Instead of thinking, I'm sick of form world and now I'm blasting off to spiritual world or whatever, it's staying in form world and expanding, right? You're expanding in both directions simultaneously. You're expanding and contracting in both. It's a dance.
Yes.
A dance isn't, it goes one way and then everybody sits on the side of the walls and doesn't dance again. You're continuously moving between, right, reality and actuality, or whatever word anybody wants to put in there, you know, spirituality, you know.
Yes.
It's a dance, and it's all a dance, and everyone doesn't have to do every dance, but you're always dancing.
Yes.
Everybody's, if you're sitting in a room meditating and you've got some sound on and you've locked everyone out and triple insulated the room or whatever, you're still dancing. You know, and life is an ongoing dance. We don't all dance every dance. Maybe I don't do the polka. I'm sure you do, Trisha. You seem like a polka person, you know. You know what I mean? But life is a big dance, and we can always try on different dances and respect and appreciate other people's dances. And as we get better at dancing, as we get better at looking at a bigger view, then our ability as like a battery to absorb different energies, it gets easier. We become more strong. We become more powerful. Other experiences open up to us, whether we're interested in pursuing them or not. You know, so many other experiences beyond this experience of reality open up for us the more you become a vessel for clean, let's call it clean energy, right? You know,
sure.
And it's baby steps. Everyday enlightenment is baby steps. It's cleaning up, cleaning your windshield off, cleaning your windshield off, cleaning your resentment off, cleaning your anger off, cleaning your shame off, right? And cleaning it off and cleaning it off and cleaning it off. Until there's there's really just a whiteboard. You're really removing everything as if that identity is really so true and so real to you. And when you're just a big whiteboard, well, you can be anything you want or explore anything you want or experience anything you want. I play the role of a father for my two children. They love me. They think I'm the coolest thing in the world. But what I really am is awareness. And in some moments that means really cool, goofy father.
And when you can get to the point where when you witness that there is something to clean off, and then you can get excited because, you know, I don't always get there when I'm actually literally cleaning my house. But when there's a mess and you go, oh, cool, that's something I get to fix. And then I'm excited about the experience in this moment. You know what I mean? Like, you can still be excited. You can be present with the fact that you are transitioning to something that is cleaner, bringing in cleaner energy.
Yeah, I think it's always hard to get to the gym, right? It's hard to wash the windows. It's hard to break out the vacuum cleaner. It's hard to even put the dishes in the dishwasher if you're one of us that likes so hard, you know?
Yeah.
But once we do it, then it's like, oh, yeah, this is better, right? Oh, this is, I feel more powerful. I feel more tidy. Mm-hmm. I feel more happy because I have dishes next time I use them, or I got all the dogs, blah, 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 off the ground, you know? It's often hard to get started, folks. But once we get started, then we start to feel better. So, you know, what does it take people to get that push in any direction to get going? And that's the thing everybody has to figure out for themselves, I think, is what inspires you to vacuum? What inspires you to go for a walk after dinner? What inspires you to eat less red meat? I don't know. To eat more red meat? I don't know. You know, but what is that inspiration? What inspires one to live more into the truth of who they really are.
Mm-hmm. You know, we do have someone on the lines. Let's take a call and see what our listeners have to say about today's topic. Hello, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hello.
Hi, who is this?
Hi, my name's Lizette.
Hi, Lizette. We have Ike Allen on with us.
Hi, Lizette.
Hi.
What's going on with you today, Lizette?
I was listening to your... I was listening, so you made me laugh a couple of times.
Job done, Lizette. Job done.
Enlightenment reached. What's going on with you today?
Well, first, I just want to tell you that I love to listen to all of your shows. They really inspired me to go to the next level with my spirituality. So thank you very much. I wanted to... there's anything there, advice you can offer me. With taking the next steps in my personality, I do feel that I'm psychic, and my guides talk to me every day. I'm very consistent with it, but I'm not sure if I'm channeling right, or if, you know, it's my mind, or if it's them. Also, you know, what they're telling me with my career, because I do want to work, but see, I've tried working like a regular job, but it just didn't work for me. Like, I just feel very like a robot, so it's like really unhappiness, you know, just like daily routine. So they're telling me to work for what I want, but the only problem is like my financial security, and so I'm like in the crossroads to go back to a job or to just like continue what I'm doing. And I don't really know what to do.
Yeah, I understand. And, you know, Ike was just telling us that it is baby steps and the experiences every single step of the way. Ike, do you have any thoughts for Lizette in this point that she is in her journey?
Well, Lizette, of course, like anything, there's always more than one way to do anything, to fix anything, to improve anything. And so let's just take a look at one approach. And I would say one approach would be, if you're clear about what you really want to do, what really lights you up and you're passionate about, you could stay at a regular job or get some kind of job or maybe a part-time job so that you cover your rent and things like that, and then truly commit to doing everything you have to do. Maybe you're in a program, maybe you get into some kind of, I'm not sure if it's a life coaching program or something that Trisha offers, and start working toward getting to what you really want to do. Mm-hmm. I call that what occurs as the safe choice. Then there's another choice. I'm not saying it's what there is to do, which is to truly commit that you're going to make it happen. And as I would say, take the leap. And if you have enough money, at least for a few months, to then work your little butt off 90 hours a week to figure out how you're going to, whatever it is you're looking for, how are you going to get clients? How are you going to make up that revenue? That's another approach.
And neither way is...
Sometimes it's easier to have a part-time job or something and spend every waking minute on the side to build the business up that would really light you up and say, okay, within 12 months or 6 months, I'm going to be out of this regular job that I don't want to take and I'm going to be over here. But then you have to do the thing, short of some miraculous luck. You have to do the thing. You have to work to get to the point where you want to be with the other job. And Trisha, maybe you have a different opinion because there's so many.
No, I don't have a different opinion. I would say the only thing I would do to enhance that, to help you to dial into it, Lizette, and I actually for both what we're talking about, the work and the finances, as well as you saying, I'm not sure if I'm channeling correctly, is that to do whatever choice that you're doing from the loving place. So if you choose to do the leap in a fearful way, then it's just happening in fear. Or if you choose to do the part-time or, you know, job that is maybe a little bit dense feeling for you right now in a fearful way, then it's going to continue to feel dense until you are able to shift whatever that decision is in every single moment to that loving place. And so far as your channeling is concerned, is that if you are experiencing it in love and you're only pursuing love, then it's always going to be accurate, as you want to say, is it just me or whatever. If it's love, then that's the only thing that there is. And so that's true. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Good. Here's the deal. I'll tell you one last thing that my guides told me one time. They said, it doesn't matter what decision you make. It only matters who you are when you make the decision. And so it doesn't matter if it is the safe choice or the leap. Because all that matters is if you are love when you make the decision, then it's going to be the right decision. And then you have to keep continuing that loving path, that practice of identifying to love, that practice of intending, identifying, and decreeing love. One baby step at a time, as Ike is telling us. All right? Keep it up, though, sweetheart. I feel that you're doing a lot of work in your expression area. I feel that the throat chakra is shifting around. It's going to get a bit exciting. Even like tomorrow, I feel like you can engage with that excitement and just go with it. In anchored in the heart, anchored in love. And you know exactly where love is every time.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Thanks for calling in. And thank you so much for your beautiful words and compliments about the show. I really appreciate it. I hope to talk to you again.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Mike, we are just about out of time. And Jarvis, do I have time to ask him one more question? Okay, great. I just wanted to ask you, you mentioned, you know, being in meditation, we're talking about every day and enlightenment. Can you speak to that as a practice, meditation or whatever the devotional practice is? How do you feel that to fit into the pursuit of everyday enlightenment?
Well, I always think of Wayne Dyer, right? Mm-hmm. It's meditate. You can meditate at a traffic light. You can meditate while you're waiting at the DMV. I think it's important to drop in and practice 1,000 times a day to free your mind. 1,000 times a day, free your mind. Any moment that you can, free your mind. Beware. Oh, that's right. Monkey mind again. And just let it go, even for 10 seconds. I'm all about the baby steps. Baby steps. Be aware that you need to just let the thoughts go when you're at the traffic light. Just take a break at the traffic light. Mm-hmm. Take a break when you hand wash your dishes. We have a brand new dishwasher. I still hand wash dishes all the time because it's just something that I do. And I just be real present to the dishes and I wash them. I wash almost all the dishes here at the house with all these people and the dog, you know, so little ways that you can actually be present and just relax in the moment, even if it's for 5 seconds, but do it 10 times a day and then 20 times a day and then 50 times a day and then 100 times a day. Every day enlightenment comes into you the more you let go of all the chatter. So don't, I would rather see someone do 100 1-minute meditations a day than one 100-minute meditation, because now you're practicing it all throughout your day. And those 1-minute meditations become 1-minute and 5-second meditations and 1-minute and 10-second. And suddenly you're meditating 10 hours a day. And that's the present moment. Now you're in the present moment. So a bunch of little, you know, pick up those little weights and curl them twice and set them down. And every time you have a chance to pick up those weights, i.e. to just be peaceful for a moment, be peaceful at a traffic light, be peaceful washing the dishes, be peaceful, I don't know, at your lunch, you know, just seize every moment to look at every moment as a 10-second meditation, a 20-second meditation, a 60-second meditation.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that. Yes. And then we can be a living meditation, being free and being at peace. I love that. Well, we are just, like I say, out of time now, but would you please let everyone know again how they can get in touch with you or engage with Enlightenment Community, the Enlightenment.
Happened, didn't it?
Enlightenment Village. I was meditating, so I needed to ground.
You were in your 10-second meditation.
I was, and you interrupted it with your trying to be on my show thing.
There it is. I'm sorry.
So I'm going to turn it over to you. Let folks know how they can get in touch with your work and your village.
Well, you can always track me down on Facebook if you're really bored and you're over there on that platform. It's just Ike Allen. And if you would like to come on over to Enlightenment Village, it's www.enlightenmentvillage.com. Or you can visit us at our primary site, always hard to say and to spell, but it's Avaya, 6 letters, www.avaya.com. And if you want to have a better way to remember it, it is my second daughter's name. My second child, her name is Avaya Rain Allen. So the website is named after her. It's Avaya. Come on over if you want to have some playful talk and journey to spirituality and or enlightenment and or talk about guilt and shame or whatever. Enlightenment Village, Avaya.com, or Ike Allen on Facebook. Let's just go with those three, Tricia.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much. It was such an honor. I could talk to you for hours. Thank you for sharing all that you are creating in this world with us and with the audience today. It was really, really fun connecting with you, Ike. It's really, truly an honor. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thanks for all you do. It's great to see people like you out there doing this and having fun along the way.
Thank you so much. You bless me. Well, that is it for our show today. My website is trishacarcharm.com for my classes and my one-on-one services. And we will be back again live next week from ubnradio.com or any of my social media platforms, which you can find by searching Trisha Carr Charm. And we are live at 11 a.m. Pacific every week. So I look forward to connecting with you guys again soon. Thank you for bringing your energy here. Thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.